So I wrote up an agenda a little bit before the meeting. And again, there's a space for other updates if we've got them, but I wrote down a few things I know that I wanted to make sure we touched on today. So starting out with this Fedora Create community. So I provided a link there, and we've alluded to this in a few calls back, I think, when Thorny was on the call, talking about this effort that Matt Zumwalt is heading up. And basically it's a way to bring together developers of stuff around Fedora, so not necessarily things that work directly as plugins with Fedora, but maybe, you know, services and tools, utilities, all that fun stuff with Fedora. The way that kind of development currently happens is people kind of go off and do it, and typically kind of provide access to it in some way, but maybe don't come back and talk with the wider community about it. So this is kind of trying to help that communication happen and build up a little community around, similar to what we're trying for the Fedora repository service, but with a wider scope. So I have a link there. Go ahead and paste in the IRC here. But this is the page that that Matt's put together, and we've had some discussions, Matt, Thorny, and myself, about the scope of this community and kind of how to involve folks. But what you see on this page for now is a breakdown, well, a definition of the scope of the community, but also a breakdown of the different kinds of things that fit into this community. So we actually took a look at the big list that I put together of Fedora-related utilities and software, and started coming up with a reasonable categorization for that stuff, put it into these areas. So this is a first cut, and as people get involved, it'll probably evolve a bit. But what the plan is for this month is Matt actually has created a mailing list for this community, and we'll be sending out an announcement to the dev and users list shortly, if he hasn't already. And basically we'll be kind of unveiling this to the wider community and asking for folks to get involved. And, you know, potentially what this could end up doing is helping get people together who may be working on overlapping functionality or tools. But at the very least, it should just help people along the way in developing things around Fedora and kind of get a little community around that. So just wanted to point that out. And also, when you guys see the message, I definitely encourage you to sign up for the list and check it out and maybe even get involved as it forums. I know a few of us are involved in some of these utilities and tools that are developed outside the main Fedora repository anyway. So that's my little spiel on that. I think as we go forward, Matt will be involving a few more people in the process of kind of herding people together and getting them talking in this community. So if you want to get involved in that too, it would be good to talk with Matt on that.
That sounds good.
So the next topic, I realized last week Brad and I were giving a webinar on Fedora 3.3, and we've been kind of making hints at it in our development discussions, but I realized we haven't really been getting the release management process together for that. So I think what we had as a target for 3.3 a while back was to try to get it out in October. Well, that's probably not going to happen. In fact, I would say it's definitely not going to happen. but so for the purpose of that presentation, I basically said end of year probably December is what we're looking at. But one of the things that that I'd really like to do with this release, and we've talked about, is getting a release manager involved in the process, who's not from the, you know, core DuraSpace organization, to sort of, you know, have that next step in maturity of the software to be less centrally managed. So, actually, Kai, let's see, Kai's on the call. It doesn't look like Steve is today, but just want to point out that I have talked privately with both Kai and Steve, and both have some interest in doing this, fulfilling that role for the next release. So it sounds like, I mean, we're in pretty good shape as far as doing it for this next release with a community release manager. What I would like to do over the next week is continue talking with Kai and Steve and follow up on some of the questions that came up in that process. So Steve in particular mentioned, you know, the time commitment is a consideration in getting involved. So I want to see if we shoot for a release in like mid-December, want to make sure that whoever does volunteer to be that release manager is available during that time and has a clear understanding of what how much time it's going to take. But I also want to point out that I'll be available for help in this whole process. So we're not just going to kind of dump the responsibility over the wall. It will be kind of a gradual thing. So I just want to carry on that discussion instead of putting Kai and Steve on the spot during the call, maybe to see who's better positioned to do that this time. So I mentioned probably December is a good date, and I just want to reiterate something I've said in the past, which is that our releases, once we've got enough features in there to justify a release that's usable for folks, I really like the idea of getting regular releases out. So not bundling up necessarily a big list of features and pushing out the release until that big list of features is done, but just making sure people have a sense of a good development pace and reasonably timed updates. So to me, I feel that we've got enough in the software right now to actually justify a release, but I think we don't have to do something right away. So we've got an opportunity to fix up some bugs and do a few of the features that we've got probably scoped for 3.3. But along those lines, go ahead.
So, I mean, on the one hand, you were saying it's maybe not such a bad idea to sort of push out these releases.
Yeah.
But we don't want to sort of jump on it too early, just because there are some things that we did have slated for 3.3 that aren't done yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we've got enough flexibility. It's been, I think, we released 3.2.1 around Open Repository. So it's been a few months. And I think we were generally shooting for quarterly releases. And so it's okay that we're pushing out a little bit to get a little bit more in, I think. By the same token, we should really be prioritizing what has to go in 3.3. Basically, we haven't yet had an opportunity to really, as a group, take a look at the 3.3 bucket and determine whether what's in there is really appropriate and doable to get things out. And if there's anything, especially really high priority bugs that need to be fixed, I think we should definitely be working to get those wrapped up in time at least.
So I guess maybe the question is, like, is the release schedule defined by a timetable, or is the release schedule defined by feature development?
I think it's the majority. It should be defined more by a timetable. I mean, but a little bit flexible, meaning we should really shoot for a quarterly release. But things happen. I mean, if there's showstoppers, we're not going to, but we do need to have an opportunity for this release to determine what is actually a showstopper. And I'm
sure. Kind of, well, it seems like this time around, the intention to have a release manager outside is the primary or one of the things that might define how and when the release gets out.
Yeah, I think that's actually a big piece of it too. And usually when we do releases, we start talking about the release, at least a couple months before we do it. So we've been kind of hinting at it, but really haven't taken a great look at the 3.3 list at this point. So I suspect whoever's able to volunteer for that role for this round, our actual release date is going to be somewhat dependent on their schedule too. So,
but we would sort of like it to be in December if that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And which means that whoever is taking on that role will hopefully we'll start the discussion, very soon.
Yeah.
For what's going in 3.3 and what needs to be squeezed in and sort of defining that box.
Yeah. And I'd like to maybe get a start on that this week. So I had an opportunity to go through the list myself a little bit last week, but wanted to maybe get a head start on that even without having the release manager defined. And I just request each of you guys to take a look at what's scoped for 3.3 and just get you kind of start forming your feelings on what's on the priorities of things. So we've got that link in Jira that's already, 3.3 is already defined in Jira. And we have been throwing things into that bucket as we've been going along, but probably makes sense to go look at it individually this week and then come back and kind of talk about it in terms of or with our new release manager in the next week or two. Also, Andrew, one of the things we talked about earlier in the summer, actually after OR09, was different ways of getting folks involved in the development process, mm-hmm. and not necessarily just on a, recruiting people to the committer status, but just making, sort of encouraging people to go out and dig into some issues either that are bothering them or things that have already been defined. So I was thinking one thing to do for this release, since we're already saying probably December, that means feature freeze or code freeze won't be at least for another month and a half or so, is to send something out and see if folks, listing some of those features that we look at or features and bugs that we look at and say, hey, if you want to get involved in helping out with this, you don't have to be a committer. We'd appreciate the help and just get that list out in front of people on the list.
So you're referring to things like issues that we're tracking that people might want to chip in on, essentially?
Pretty much. I mean, things that are already defined.
Mm-hmm. It seems like, you know, sort of branching out from that, though, if we can indicate, you know, we're intending to have a release in, you know, late or mid-December, then, you know, if there's something you'd really like to see get in, you know, now would be a good time to you know, add it to the JIRA list, and, you know, if it's not already there, and you know, do some implementation, and, you know, we'd likely be able to get it in for you in the next release.
Yeah, so with the I agree with that, Bill, and with an emphasis on helping implement.
Right, yeah. I think the intention there would be, like, if, you know, if there's something that you've been wanting to see, or if you've been wanting to contribute and get in, now would be a good time to you know, sort of push that over to us.
Mm-hmm. Good, yeah.
Sure. We had this notion of, because, yeah, and it's related here in that, you know, like a lot of people have done small customizations, or maybe not so small, but sort of tailored to their own particular needs, and maybe they haven't seen them as being like global solutions, or at least even applicable in other environments. And we sort of talked about the notion of encouraging people to, yeah, at least make those available in some way. And I think it was couched in terms of like a garage sale type thing.
So actually that was part of the thing we've been talking about, Thorny, myself, and Matt, about fitting that kind of effort into the Fedora Create community. So, you know, maybe we can act as liaisons in that community for helping folks get these things together. But that seems like a good kind of a good home for that kind of mm-hmm. effort.
Yeah, that was kind of my impression, that sort of the Create community was absorbing that in some way.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly clear to me, you know, sort of the nature of how that's going to play out in the Create community, but it seemed like that's where it was being managed.
Yeah. Well, I think it's worth noting here that effort, although we've, you know, basically said it's absorbed by the Fedora Create community, that, you know, we want to make sure that we still have some involvement there, where, you know, we're basically helping to encourage folks to get their wares out there for people to look at. To the wiki there.
Yeah, I guess some further discussions will need to take place just on how we make that happen or what. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't I bring that up in our next, so we have a biweekly discussion with Thorny and me and Matt, and I'll bring that up in there as how we go about making that happen. So I'll take that. Okay, so I suspect next time we have a committer call, we'll be hopefully have identified a release manager and we'll start running through the issues for 3.3. Going back to the agenda here, let's see. So special topics meeting. So we have on our list here a few potential items for the next special topics meeting, which falls on next Tuesday. So before the call, I went through and pruned a couple things out that we had already done or identified as not really absolutely relevant to this group. Going back to that page, if you're on like the meetings, the committer meeting notes page, if you go to the top, you can just get back to meeting notes. And so we've got a few items that are still on that list, and we've got actually one, well, technically two new items that have popped up in the last week, number 4 and number 5. So wanted to go through those real quick and see if we can get a sense of what we want next special topics meeting to be. So, Bill, can you give a quick overview of what 4 is about?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So Paul and Andrew and I all had a discussion about sort of how Mulgara fits into the Fedora structure. And one of the things that Paul's wanting to see, and this is Paul Giron, who is the lead of the Mulgara development effort. One thing he was wanting to see is Fedora really allowing for the full power of the semantic capabilities of Mulgara, being set over the objects and content that Fedora is responsible for. So just noting that, people have said that they'd like to do sort of semantic linking, and they'd like to be able to do queries through a Sparkle engine that gets to all of the information that that Fedora knows about a particular object or data stream. So we're sort of somewhere along that line, because there is capabilities to do queries through Fedora, but it seems like we don't necessarily expose all the information about about the objects. And I'm not sure if there's a way to do full Sparkle, or I guess there's not really a complete Sparkle endpoint, though you can do some Sparkle queries at this point. So I think the goal here would just to be, how do we sort of take the next step in providing access to what the triple store can already give us without people having to go directly through the triple store. Another item that was a concern was of access control, because the triple store, if you're wanting to do a query that has limitations on the information that you want to bring back, based on who's allowed to see which objects, that's not really something that is handled or can be handled well without an integration of the authorization components of Fedora and those same components in the triple store. So just a few items to sort of work out in order to make that a little bit more powerful.
This sounds like it could be quite a ripe discussion. Some of those topics are things that we've talked about a bit in the past, but I think it would be good to kind of come back and look at the whole picture, especially with Paul's help.
Right. Yeah, he certainly had some ideas around what could be done to sort of push this agenda forward.
Yeah. Did you get a sense of whether Paul would be interested in leading this discussion? If not, we can come back.
I got the sense that he would.
Yeah.
You, Bill?
Yeah. I think he'd be very happy to.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like a really good candidate for us. And then I added number 5, which is really just kind of a placeholder for the fact that I think we need to have a more extensive discussion on the issue that I put in the tracker. And I don't want to take up a normal status call to talk about this. but it could either fit into a future special topics meeting or a discussion on the mailing list. But it's that issue of how in the CMA design that provides service arc. But I just think architecturally we need to get a clearer description or a clearer shared understanding of why that arc is necessary or why it might not be. So I would like to have a deeper discussion on that. But that's, to me, that's not the kind of thing that's, I don't know if that's all that pressing right now. It's more of one of these architectural issues we kind of think need to eventually follow up on. So we've got a few items in there that are still that we haven't really talked about. Number 3 was kind of a placeholder for if we can identify some folks or get some interest in workflow capabilities with Fedora, we could have another special topic meeting about that. I'm not getting the sense that we have reached that point yet. We could do at any point a report on Fedora performance testing and issues around what could make Fedora more scalable at access time. And then we have the JCR tools idea of having a guest speaker come in from Northwestern from that project and let us know what's going on with that project and how it can work with Fedora, maybe what things have been hard or interesting about that whole process.
So I'm wondering if it would be useful, especially if we're able to figure out who's going to be the release manager for 3.3, to have a special topic meeting on, on the next release, on 3.3 and what kind of what the goals are for it, and what all the various items that we're trying to fit in.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to cram all that into a status meeting.
Yeah. I'm adding that to the list right now. Yeah, because that could be a pretty long discussion. So I was thinking, actually, that we would probably do the 3.3 thing maybe in a couple weeks after the special topics meeting, but your point is well taken about maybe this is actually a big enough thing we just throw into special topics. So I guess the two big ones that pop out at me are number 4 and now number 6, 3.3 kickoff. I think it would be good to have our release manager identified by the time we have this discussion, and we may be able to do that within the next week. And then 4 just sounded pretty interesting because the ideas are kind of fresh right now and could probably get a lot out of that discussion.
So it seems like 6 would depend on if there's a release manager, and 4 would depend on if Paul is available.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it would make sense to have that discussion without him in the call.
Yeah. So we can also do one after the other. I mean, we don't have to wait another 3 weeks to have another special topic discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it's kind of how we how we couch our agendas for these meetings. So, you know, it could work out that, say, Paul's available this next week, and then for 3-3, we just get the release manager identified in time for something in 2 weeks. I think number six, we pretty much have to get started on real quick.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, within either the next week or the week after, ideally, at least there'd be a set of goals outlined for what's going to happen in the following 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Especially with people working other tasks right now, trying to figure out how much time that they'll have to be able to do what feature would really be needed to kind of scope the release.
Yeah. Well, why don't we, since 3-3 is time dependent, let's shoot to try to see if we can get 3-3, a 3-3 discussion next week. And I'll see if that works with Kai and Steve, and see what we can work out there, and also ping Paul on his availability both next week and the week after, but maybe prefer the 3-3 next week.
Sounds good.
Okay, so going back, let's see. I think we're at the MISC section. Any other updates this week? Dan, anything significant on the Maven front?
No, there were a couple of minor commitments. I finished out what we discussed last week for getting all of the libraries moved out and moved into our Maven repository. So if you build now, you don't run that script to load your local Maven repository.
And have any issues fallen out of that effort?
Go ahead.
I think that was it. I was just asking if any issues have fallen out of that.
I haven't. In my testing, I haven't found any.
Smooth as butter?
For me so far. How about for everybody else?
Don't know, but I'll make a point to give it a shot. Anybody else built this week?
So,
nope. I haven't.
Now that was all of the remaining libraries in Lib, and they're all set to org Fedora repo. The artifacts that we create as part of the build process are only being put in the local repository. Chris and I had a discussion about how to set up the Fedora Maven repository, the Fedora Commons Maven repository. Things are set in the top-level POM to how to get to stuff. So we have an area which is third party where all the libraries went. There's a second area in there for snapshots, and a third area for releases. Those other two aren't used. They came with the Nexus repository software. So the only one we're using right now is the third party. It's possible for us to reconfigure the group entry point, which is a collection that presents all of the repositories at a single endpoint. So that hasn't been done yet. So for at this time, we're going to the individual repositories. Was that clear as mud?
I think so. So we're pointing to third party and the other one instead of the group.
That's correct.
Makes sense. This is a, it may turn out that we, down the road when we change how we're hosting the Maven stuff, we may merge those into one repository
or
still have them in two, but be virtual.
Be virtual, yeah.
So.
Hey, as far as testing, all the dependency pushdown, is it sufficient to just run the uninstall libs? I mean, or is there
you probably want to
make sure it's
you probably want to like pull all the or delete your local Maven repository?
Well,
I was hoping not to have to hire local.
No,
uninstall libs should do it because I mean the lib directory is completely gone now.
Right.
So, your dependencies should be in. I mean, they should be completely either cached locally or pulled in when you run a build.
I left the uninstall libs in there, but as Bill said, the safest thing to do is go into your Maven repository storage and delete the org Fedora repo and the DuraSpace subdirectories. You can leave everything else.
Yeah, that's exactly what the script does, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you believe the script's doing what it's supposed to, that's the same set of steps. Or, I mean, alternatively, if you want to be really safe about it, you could temporarily rename your repository and tell it to download all of everything that's needed for the build and then put your old repository back when you're done.
Right. Okay.
Well, I guess I'll kick one off while we're finishing up here.
I assume we all are.
Yeah. Sort of why I asked.
I did have one question for Andrew. I can take it offline. But there seemed to be another test in the unit tests or the integration test that was commented out. And I needed to go back through history to see. But I ran across a crumb trail that said that one might need to be re-enabled.
Okay, yeah. We can talk about it afterwards. I don't know offhand.
Okay. So that was it. I will be working on trying to go on to refactor the client into the sub-builds as suggested by Andrew in his page.
Cool.
Okay.
So our, just out of curiosity, how big is our... a checkout now.
Yeah.
Because that should have reduced it quite a bit, huh?
Well, I was trying to keep things real quick and short. One of the other things I did was clean up how the JDBC drivers are packaged. So they're in there only one time now instead of twice as they were before. That decreased the size considerably. And also, with all of the changes, at least on a Windows machine, you no longer need to set the heap size to 256 in order to get it to build.
Yeah, I noticed that a little while back. That's great. So our suspicion was true, that it was just because of all those extra libs.
I didn't test that on a client Linux machine, so that will be interesting if one of you build from the command line. I know that it ran properly on the Bamboo server.
Yeah, I'm testing on OS X, and I didn't get the memory thing last time I checked on OS X. So
wait, now Trunk still does have all the libs in lib, right?
No.
Nope. Only in back in history.
Is your SVN update not working or something, maybe?
Maybe my SVN update doesn't believe
You might have a new something that you wrote in lib and it's not removing that directory for you.
Oh, I'll take a look again.
So mine's still running. Can't wait for it to finish. yeah, well, that's great, Dan. It's really good to be loading all those libs remotely now. So hopefully this is already in a position to make our lives easier from at least from a branching perspective. Just make that kind of activity a lot easier.
Yeah, I would like to work with you on getting into a single virtual view instead of having to the POM point to two different repositories. But because that happens automatically, who cares?
Yeah.
I kind of like Maven.
Yeah. Well, so it just built successfully for me.
You ran clean install?
Yeah, I did a clean install. Built the installer.
Oh, okay, then you built the installer. So you did the installer profile?
Yep. And let's see. Wow, that's... So it's only... It's down to 71 megs, looks like. Although... seems like it should be a little smaller than that, but...
Oh, I know. There's some more cleaning we can do in here, but I went for the biggest stuff first.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming along nicely.
Yeah. So there's some cases where we've got the build a clean isn't actually cleaning everything that's created during a build, so just got rid of like some of the ActiveMQ stuff, and that reduced it down to 65. So
yeah, you know, like one of the things is the one jar installer gets put in there twice, so that's some of the cleaning that remains to be done yet.
Cool. Well, thanks, Dan.
You're quite welcome. And Andrew had a beautiful analysis. All I had to do was follow the directions.
Can't blame me, Dan.
Well, I was just impressed about the framework that you got set up. I mean, that first stage was incredible.
Yeah, I think there were probably a couple really late nights in there at the beginning, weren't there, Andrew?
Yeah, took a little bit of time. It's all good fun.
So the only other update I could think of was just I noticed that Eddie had done a little bit more work on the OSGI page, so we do have now a link to the mailing list for that, so folks can sign up for that. I don't think we don't have any messages on there yet, but
I I wanted to mention one thing that Sandy made me promise to mention to the group is, strangely enough, there's an OSGI binding for data transfer. The code is in the Apache Sling Jetty packaging. It's still another way to bundle stuff for ingest. We're talking about data here, not code.
Okay, so there's a separate spec that's not
with
related to modular code, but
right.
They call it OSGI.
It is, and the code exists in that Apache packaging. It's well documented.
Can you shoot a URL out, maybe?
Yeah, let me see if I have one. But if not, I'll go ahead and get it into to everybody a little later.
Cool. I hadn't heard of that. Eddie, did you hear that yet?
Nope. I had not.
Okay. And I did take a little deeper look at Asger's change too from last week. And we'll probably be making a few style updates, but other than that, it seems to work as advertised. So that review has gone well so far. Okay, well, on to reviewing submitted issues, if nobody has anything else. So if you go to that link, you'll notice we're down to 6, which is good. Half a dozen. Before the meeting, I went through them real quick to see if there was anything obvious and opened ones that were things that we had already talked about. But I also kept FC Repo 527 open for the time being until we can have some more discussion on that, because that may end up being a won't fix, or it may end up being specified a little bit better. So moving on to FC Repo 528, this is really a very complete report here. It needs to be easy to do this. Submitted by some guy, Chris Wilbur. I have to talk with him. Apparently, during some discussion, I probably spun off and said, well, we should create an issue for that because there's not enough documentation there. So that explains the brevity here. As far as I know, we actually don't have – we have on the APIM Lite or APIM documentation, we do have a description of what the signature for that method is. Or for those methods, that's purge and add relationships, basically. But we don't have any examples on how to use them. I think the documentation that even exists in the API is pretty poor. If we go to... checking real quick to make sure I'm not crazy here.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a pain, but I actually used this API this week. I actually found it to be relatively straightforward. So could you... but part of this context actually is I've got some kind of scaffolding scripts for Ruby and Python, depending on what I'm doing, about calling the various API methods. But mm-hmm. I guess I felt a little bit when I was doing it, like if you understood what was going on in Rails X, then probably the wisdom document was going to was okay. almost going to document enough, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering if you could remember what
yeah.
specifically was.
Fortunately, let's see when I submitted that, because I think this was one of those things where I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, that was really hard for me to figure out. And it could have been, I mean, as you mentioned, familiarity with RDF in general might have caused some of the problem there. So, Ben, do you remember what, when you put together that scaffolding or API calls directly to Fedora, what you were looking at? Was it like the standard API M documentation?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this: that a lot of times the WSDL document you get back from Fedora serves you can just
oh, yeah.
serve up the WSDL document is sometimes better than the. Like the documentation on the wiki sometimes seems like an abbreviation of the WSDL document, which indicates an impressive level of brevity. But I also don't know how much I would add. I'm going to look at the script that I used to stick that in. But
okay. Well,
I don't know. Like I say, I'm not trying to be a curmudgeonly about this, but
oh, no.
it's
actually quite useful to have somebody who's actually used it for real comment on this one. So, let's see. I'm just gonna try to find that specific one because. Fedora repository, web service interfaces. So this one in particular, API M. Okay, we've got add, get, and purge relationships. This says creates a new relationship in the object. Predicate. It looks pretty descriptive here. To me, if I'm looking at, I'll paste it to the thing so people can see what I'm looking at. But oh, Bill pasted it a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm looking at the script I used to do it, and I actually thought it was sufficiently simple that I didn't even use a SOAP client. I just made a little XML template to post the SOAP envelope.
Let's see.
I think maybe if you are a little uncomfortable with the RDF or something, then that the PID is the subject might be confusing. I don't know.
Let's see. The PID of the object. The relationship is the predicate. Well, it may be sufficient here. I mean, I'm looking at the description here, and I mean, basically, the data type of these things is string, which to somebody who's maybe not familiar with RDF, the word predicate, you know, to them might just be like a simple string indicating a property. So I can see how that could be.
Yeah, it seems like it might be useful just under the relationship management heading to just sort of indicate that a little bit of background on the fact that this is, you know, you're updating RDF and maybe a link to one of the other pages we have in the documentation already that talks about you know, the resource index and RDF, et cetera.
Yeah.
Just some, like, if you're not familiar with, you know, how relationships happen in Fedora, you know, a little bit of background information.
Yeah, and I think under the specific parameters, too, it should be clear that the relationship and the object parameters are... given as URIs.
Yeah, I think some examples here would help a lot also.
Yeah.
There may also have been, if somebody was maybe doing something with the DC data stream in Dublin Core, but because there's that kind of wonkiness. I'm just trying to imagine what the conversation might have been. But,
yeah.
There's that relationship between RailsXt and DC that.
Yeah. And I think there is elsewhere in the docs a description of that. So maybe just making sure that's linked to or.
Yeah. So I'd say just linking the.
So they can discover it if that's the way they come in.
Wait, what's the wonkiness with DC that we're talking about?
Well, the fact that you don't use this API to describe. To change the Dublin Core of objects.
Oh, okay.
You are able to search the Dublin Core relationships through the resource index. So there's a way you can kind of come at this where you understand the Dublin Core stuff as part of the relationship data, but.
Yeah.
So I put it on IRC, but I mean, if we're going to include examples, I mean, I think we can strip something out of the JUnit class, the test relationships class, or vice versa, whatever, if we find that there are better examples to be using in the documentation, if that also means that should be included as one of the tests. But,
yeah. Okay, so I'm also adding that to the description of the bug here with our three suggestions on how to make this better. The under relationship management, make sure we have a linkage and some description of the RDF context. Make sure in the parameters that we're indicating what needs to be a URI and include examples taken from JUnit. Seems pretty good to me.
Hey, and incidentally, while we're talking about the relationships API, does someone know where our issue is for the REST implementation of the relationships? Because I can't seem to find it.
Okay, I was actually looking. So Dan and I had a quick discussion after the meeting last week, and I was looking for the same thing and couldn't find it. The point Dan was making is actually we've got a few methods that aren't implemented in the REST API. Relationships is one, and then there are the other dissemination capabilities. So calling a method on a SDEF. I actually created one in this list of outstanding issues here.
Well, I believe that the calling a method on an SDEF might be a part of the rolling API A light into the REST API. Because there's that's sort of done already in API A light, so it's just a matter of
pulling
that
true.
Functionality in. And if we redid that in a different way, it would just overlap.
So which number is that one, Bill?
I have to look it up. I just know it's in there somewhere.
And we should make sure we specifically mentioned get dissemination and relationship stuff so it could be searched. Okay, there it is, 476. Okay. And basically until this is done, we can't, until this is API A Lite is completely available in the REST API, we can't really deprecate API Lite, right? So
right,
it seems
yeah.
to be pretty important to do. So I'm going to go ahead and mark that one as a dupe, and also make sure that this one, the 476, mentions this includes Git dissemination and relationship, etc. I think in
I guess it might be reasonable to have the implementation of add relationship stuff as a separate item, since that stuff's not in API 8 Lite. So getting those since you already have a, so it sounds like you already have an item in there for that. So essentially just implement the relationship stuff in REST API.
Well, doesn't this apply though to API mLite as well? I mean, we can't really call the REST API a proper replacement for both of those Lite interfaces until their functionality is actually pulled in. So, I mean, I guess either way we couch it, it's either one or two issues, right?
Well, I'm just wondering, well, API mLite doesn't include relationship calls, does it?
Nope. API mLite just has the get next PID.
Yeah, get next PID and the upload method.
Yeah, it's very full featured.
So, yeah, all I'm saying is, pulling in API A and M Lite is...
Doesn't capture their relationship.
Exactly. Yeah, it could be considered a separate thing.
Yeah. So this at least includes Git dissemination. All right, I'm going to keep that one as is, except just note that it includes dissemination. That's 476. And then the new one, whoops, missed my search here to go back. I'm just jumping up to FC Repo 535. The goal of the REST API is to provide the set of services, basically to provide a full set of Fedora's API using REST, right? So it's incomplete in that it doesn't include the relationship stuff.
Right.
So maybe just then change this to
implement relationship methods in REST API.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, if you're looking, I mean, are you trying to just set up the general issue and then set up a bunch of these smaller ones as dependencies then? Is that what you're...
Not really. Well, I mean, okay. I guess we could do that, but I think as long as we have good keywords in them,
yeah.
We can find them. Include relationship methods in REST API. In REST API. So it's basically if we were to implement get dissemination, then we would have dealt with FC Repo 476, and then there's a list of several other methods, including the relationship stuff, that are noted on the REST API documentation, which are still incomplete.
I think there might actually be one or two other things that 476 that would be required to get 476 closed. Um, having to look through that again.
Yeah. Well, I have a link in the newest one. I can just point to. Rather than trying to identify them all right now.
I think the idea is just to make sure that at least in 476, to make sure that we have everything that's done in API Lite and API M Lite actually handled in the REST API.
So I'm going to change the description to API A / M Lite, and also put a link to the list.
Yeah, because I think the goal of that item is to be able to deprecate the API A and API M Lite.
Yeah.
And then this other one might be just to make sure that there's a complete that the REST API is full featured. So maybe there's a dependency on 476.
Okay. REST API. So I'm changing 535's description to say implement add relationship, etc., to complete REST API. And then doing the dependency linkage for 76. Okay. Link. So I think it's fair at this point to just go ahead and open this one.
Sure, yeah.
And go back to our search again. Okay. So we got three more. FC repo 529. Andrew, you submitted this, and this was the contribution from the guy at INEL who had figured out how to get Fedora working with Microsoft SQL Server and is given basically a DDL converter that does it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wondering here is this something that if we accept it, we're signed on to make sure it works? I mean, does this become an addition to our test process at the end of each release? Kind of wondering.
No.
Well, I mean, it's cool work that this guy did, and he did this whole write up about it. He's from Idaho, so he can't be that bad. No. I'm from Idaho, so that's why. Let's see.
I mean, are we suggesting the possibility of having a set of these sort of DDLs that we say, like somebody said they worked, we're not verifying it. It is or it is not in the code base.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a question of if it's in the code base, it feels kind of like it's something that we should make sure works.
At the same time, we don't. I don't think we don't make sure that McCoy still works, right? But we didn't get rid of those DDLs.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah, but there was. Aren't there still a test or two in there somewhere that does something with McCoy?
I thought we got rid of it all, but maybe there is still something.
Well, you can run all the tests with McCoy configured as you could with any other database.
Right, but it's just not part of our test setup anymore. I mean, like, I don't think we to cover McCoy any longer.
Yeah, like for the 3-3 release, I wouldn't expect one of us to take on that combo of McCoy with Fedora. On the other hand, we could... well, I mean, I guess my preference would be that this stuff could be released in a way that could be kind of listed alongside Fedora as, hey, look at all these cool plugins and ways of integrating Fedora with other databases that, you know, maybe we don't, you know, necessarily keep up to date, but hey, people have done them and they work.
Garage sale material?
Or is this something that fits into the Fedora Create community?
Well, I think ultimately it might, yeah. It seems like we should make sure our focus is such that, you know, we can ensure we deliver a quality product on the core repository and things that we test. I mean, you know, on one hand, I'm listening to myself thinking, God, this is so petty because this is just one stupid database, you know. But on the other hand, I mean, there is an additional cost here, and it's probably a good nudge for us to consider this, just in our whole scoping process.
It seems like ideally we can get to a point where we don't have to do all of this extra sort of by hand testing before releases. And, you know, if we're able to get to that, then, you know, adding a database like this and, you know, including whatever tests are necessary, doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah.
Well, do we even have a license for SQL Server?
Well, there is a test. I mean, like Oracle, it has a test version that you can get.
Oh, okay.
Play with. So, yeah, we kind of set the precedent with Oracle, didn't we? I mean, I guess one option, you know, given the fact that we don't have this area that we host for this stuff, for kind of plugins and such, is down the road, Eddie, do you imagine... You know, maybe with the OSGI stuff, that this is the kind of thing that could go into some repository as like a, you know, plop this in and you get MS SQL kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be the goal. I mean, that's kind of far off. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, as far as being responsive to this contribution, I think we have to still make a call now.
Yeah.
It doesn't. And I mean, actually, I think the call has to be something around, you know, somehow including this and, you know, sort of encouraging this sort of contribution. But down the road, I would hope that like all of these things are sort of encapsulated as different bundles.
Yeah. Yeah, and then people could download them separately and. If it was kept up to date, great, but we wouldn't necessarily be keeping it up to date.
But simply keeping the information of whether it was tested or not, and the person who contributed it might be, as part of the Create community, willing to test against that for their own interests.
Yeah,
And kept it in an unsupported but community tested sort of part of the Create community.
Yeah. So, ideally, for I agree, Eddie, with the message here being, you know, we don't want to send a message here that gives the impression that we're not interested in people putting forth this kind of contribution. I mean, there's a cost to us, maintenance-wise, to actually take it on. Is there some middle ground we can take for now? I mean, absent the ability for us to actually host you know, these OSGI bundles that can, that the community can kind of keep up to date. Maybe, you know, what about changing the source code to indicate that it's an experimental or not necessarily kept up to date, but we've included it because that's just the simplest way right now.
Would it,
I mean,
would it be an option?
If we know that it... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, just organizationally, would it be an option to make the issue creating an area in the Create community for database support and how to integrate those different DDL adapters, and then maybe moving both the MSSQL and the Oracle benefits in there?
Yeah, well, the Oracle one, that's a tougher sell because we've supported Oracle in the past officially, so I think we're kind of stuck there unless we're able to find somebody who wants to take it on. I mean, in this particular one, it looks like we may have a candidate who's willing to keep it up to date for their own interest. So I agree that what we do here doesn't need to or shouldn't drop the issue of, you know, the reason we're doing whatever we're doing for now is because we don't have this thing. We have to.
But to be able to support, to have these things, we only need a few things. We need to be able to store it in our repository. We can mark it as unsupported or community supported and allow it to be stay in the Jira tracker and be its history be kept up, marked as community supported items.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we don't allow it to be in the tracker in some form, then it kind of disappears.
Right. Well, we do have the Fedora Create tracker now, so we can at least do a copy over there. It would just be nice to somehow make sure people know about this.
Yeah,
the intent here is to share what he did.
Yeah. When people go to the documentation, you know, for Fedora to see which databases are supported, it would be nice to have something in there that said, you know, here's the ones that we update and support, and here are the ones that the community updates and support.
Yeah.
Supports. And this is
exactly
how you get access to this one.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so here's a suggestion. And we copy this one, or we move this one to the Create tracker, and then we create basically a documentation item for us, which is to make sure we have linkage to it in the release notes or appropriate listing out of which databases we support and which ones other folks have developed that we know about.
Yeah, and I think the documentation, like on the Fedora installation page, has been added. It doesn't link to this at this point, but it mentions it.
Okay.
What is the actual install experience for someone who wants to use SQL Server?
Well, you have to get the JDBC driver, and you have to compile this thing and make sure they're in your class path. So it's kind of, I mean, it's implicit by what's stated in the install guide around creating your own. But Andrew, you added stuff also to that, right?
Yes. So under the other databases section of the install guide.
Okay. I'm changing this to...
So has someone actually tried this one out? Andrew, did you give it a shot? I'm curious.
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering if there should be any kind of verification on our end of like this.
Well, and even what version of SQL Server... right, that this works with. I don't know. I haven't used SQL Server in so many years, but they have changed significantly, haven't they?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe this stuff is generic enough that it's...
I mean, yeah, but it's probably pretty generic.
Yeah, it is. It's just, yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, you know, we don't have to be too specific, I don't think, about, I mean, since we're basically saying, hey, this is available, you know, if you find it useful, you can get it here, you know, unless somebody does a contribution where they're signing up to kind of keep it up to date. Then I think maybe that's enough for us to just say, yeah, and this might work for you too.
Well, wouldn't that be part of this create and community thing, is to try to give the person a place on the wiki with a page that they can do the documentation for this, even if we seed it with what Andrew has, and let them maintain it. Say what versions it works with, that sort of stuff. Hopefully they're continuing to use the SQL Server, so they'll be somewhat motivated.
Yeah.
But it's that means it's... the only thing that's in the formal documentation is a link over to wherever, either in our own wiki or in the some community location, where they can find documentation.
Yeah, I thought... Now I'm having trouble finding the issue, but that it strikes me that that's an issue to talk with Matt about too at our next discussion. I want to have a thing for that, but for the time being, for us, we can just point to the tracker item in the Fedora Create thing for now. And then if it evolves to a wiki page where they go and are able to keep it up to date, or people are able to help out keeping it up to date, then great, we'll change our link.
Who's next to a train?
I think that was me with the bus going by.
Shoot, I've lost the issue now. I don't know where it went. Let me see. Maybe I didn't really move it. No, I didn't. I'll try that again.
But we're thinking about the actual Java code being hosted just in Jira.
Or wherever. If somebody takes it on within the Fedora Create community, wherever they happen to be hosting it. I mean... Mm-hmm. Wiki could be, you know, it's pretty easy for us to allow folks to create wiki pages for stuff like that. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm. So for the Create community, are we intending to provide some kind of, you know, code hosting support, like a Subversion or something, to allow, you know, folks from that community to have a place to store their code?
So rolling back to a few months ago when we started talking about that, I think before the idea of the Create community came about, we were kind of thinking, yeah, why don't we, you know, as we move to OSU OSL, as DSpace is done, we'll have the opportunity to create these spaces under the Fedora source code repository.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, somewhere where people can contribute stuff, and we'll, you know, have access control for that. So I think, I mean, that the fact that that's still desirable. Hasn't changed, but I think it logically probably belongs in the Fedora Create community, how to follow that up.
Yeah, just seems like it'd be nice if this was in Subversion as opposed to just in Jira.
So I'm going to just kind of flip to another side of this and just, I mean, what would really be the downside of just dropping this into trunk, the DDL converter at least, and updating the installer to have, well, you can't do the installer because of the driver thingy exactly, but okay, so at least, but dropping at least this class file into trunk and then dealing with the sort of uncertain supported status of it as a documentation issue. I mean, just to sort of be optimistic about its sort of life in the code repository in it. And if we can sort of, you know, distance ourselves a little bit in the documentation as to its sort of fully supported testing status, then does that, I mean, what's the real downside to that, I guess?
Yeah, I think the main thing there is, you know, the potential of some of this not working quite right, and it kind of feeling like something that we really really do need to support. I mean, if it's in trunk, it feels like it's something, it should be something that is supported.
Yeah, but we do stuff like with the REST API originally, with the, I mean, with, I don't know, various things where we mark things as experimental or beta, and that we don't, you know, we sort of reserve the right to do what we want with it in future releases. So, well, I mean, the thing is, you know, this potentially is a non-issue. It may basically just work. The additional overhead of maintaining it may be relatively negligible if it's just, you know, like when table schemas change, I mean, if it's going to be something like adding a column or something, it, you know, it may be relatively negligible. And then the plus of it is that, you know, we're again encouraging our contributors, and we're, I mean, I don't know how people feel about the ability to say that we also support, you know, MS SQL Server, but that's there, and you can still put that with the sort of, star or whatever footnote that it's in some kind of limited support category.
Well, it's really a question of how easy, I guess, it is for if somebody does want to step up and start maintaining it. I mean, honestly, if this was the only time this was going to happen and this was an isolated case, I would say, yeah, I mean, it's pretty stupid not to just put this in and put a disclaimer around it, because that makes life easier for everybody. I think the big thing is the larger issue of how we handle this stuff in general. And by putting it in our source code repository, we're basically saying, if somebody does want to step up and offer maintenance on it, they have to become a full committer, right? And so it feels kind of monolithic in that way.
Wouldn't it also
really, right? I mean, because people can do bug fixes and submit them via tracker items that and not be committers at this point.
What were you saying, Kai?
Wouldn't it also be an option to make it actually simpler to maintain the DDL generator? For example, if we if we change it, that it creates, if we made templates out of it or use a framework like Abatis or something, it would be easier to maintain databases.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially a kind of a template. It's just written in code where for a given table spec item, it puts together the string to create the table. with the right indexes.
You still have to write code, so I guess it would be easier if someone could just...
it didn't have to be compiled, right?
Yeah, right. Someone could just provide a text file or an XML file or something like that.
Yeah.
So I guess maintainability is also a thing to consider there.
It's kind of a different issue. You're suggesting kind of sort of like how we deal with DDLs and such. Not necessarily like how we handle sort of community contributions.
No, but the point was, if I didn't misunderstand it, that the how to integrate the Oracle and Microsoft SQL Server patch for the DDL generator.
Yeah, I mean there are a few issues peeking out here. I mean, and I think we've hit on them. How to handle this in particular, this specific contribution? How to handle community contributions at large, which are basically kind of plugins to the Fedora repository in some way, whether they're compiled or a template. Either way, it's how do we, do we set up a space or somehow have that handled in the Fedora Create community? And then, given the way plugging in different databases work now, which is what Kai's pointing at, is maybe there's a way to make this less of an issue for us. Because if it's simply a text file, it becomes quite a bit easier to just point to something rather than having some code out there that somebody has to compile and link and get integrated.
So I think that given that we want to be in a position, not in time for a 3.3 or, I guess maybe not even, a 3.3, a 3.4 release or whatever. But, I mean, the fact that we want to get to a point where people can drop in a bundle to represent, functionality like this, then it's just trying to come up with something in the meantime that, sort of works for the people that, need it, doesn't discourage our contributors and, doesn't incur some kind of, big burden on the core committers. And so, I don't know, for me, thinking of those, that actually seems like the least amount of burden to just drop it into trunk on the assumption that it at least does what it, purports to do.
Like, we guarantee that it compiles.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we can sort of put whatever distance we want in our documentation or in the installer or some combination thereof. And that sort of, it's like, I really want to make sure that someone who, spent the time to do the work. And I mean, they even made a nice write-up of all the work, like that they really don't feel like they're just sort of being set aside.
Right.
And it's really not much for us to, I feel like, to drop it into the trunk and then just kind of put some disclaimers around its level of support. And then if we get to the point where then we can separate it out into a bundle, then, that's great. Cause then you can just, it's a separate bundle. It's maintained by whoever. You can set sort of what version of the core repository, whatever that it's tested against or compatible with. And, people are free to include it or not. So then we get, down the road, we're at the state with this that we want anyway. And so it's just in this window where we want to, not discourage people. And
so that approach would imply a follow-up activity then to extract it from trunk down the road, right?
Yeah, but I think we'd probably be there anyway with all of the DDL stuff anyway. I mean, like they all sort of should be bundles, right? I mean, like the Oracle support should be, the MySQL support should be. So,
but how are we distinguishing this from other sort of GradShell type stuff? Like, do we imagine in the meantime anything that comes up we push into trunk?
You know, I think like we don't have yet the problem of too many people contributing.
Well, people that do write plugins and things often set up a website to distribute it to. I mean, for example, the Honeycomb and SRB and iRods plugins are all distributed independently. And that's a fine model. And some people actually prefer that, some authors, so that they have direct control over where, you know, how it gets distributed. In this particular case, it's kind of been written, described, and orphaned, and I get the impression the author kind of wants to be, you know, to help to share it with everybody, but not necessarily sign up for a lifetime of servitude.
I wonder if we should collect these things. In this case, there's only one of them, and, you know, like sort of make them, give them publicity. And if other people out there like find value in them, you know, like they can somehow vote on it, and then it, you know, then it makes it in or not. You know, like if no one's really using this except for this one gentleman in Idaho, or, you know, the national lab, then there's less incentive to put it into trunk.
So how would that okay, you've mentioned getting a sense of people's use of it. You know, maybe we could I mean, specifically how we could do that is, well, there's always SurveyMonkey, but maybe there's another way. You know, let us know. I mean, put something in the release notes that says, hey, by the way, this guy developed this, and, you know, here's how to use it. Let us know if this is something that you find useful too, and we'll decide whether it becomes an official supported thing.
What do you have you decided that you don't want to use the voting capability in Jira?
No. It's just a question of this particular issue could be spun off into, you know, I guess we could couch it as this database, which has already been integrated in trunk, as Eddie suggests, for example, becomes officially supported. So that could be done within Jira too. If we want anything more than just a binary, register your vote yes or don't vote, then we could use something that with a little more capability like SurveyMonkey.
So what's really the difference here between, you know, this contribution and some of the other contributions we've gotten that have just been code, that seemed like to us as a, you know, as a committer group that, you know, it's probably you know, widely useful. It seems like the only real distinguishing factor here is the potential for more work on our side for testing.
Yeah. Well, and in this particular case, it's something I feel like if we include it with a release, we should probably at least test it once. You know? setting the bar pretty high there, but...
well, I'm just wondering if this is a special case.
I think it's more that it just nudges at this issue in general. I mean,
it just feels like maybe we're trying to generalize on something that might be a little bit too much of a special case.
Yeah. So the suggestion now is, I mean, it seems like we put it in there. Let's say we just throw it into trunk, call it experimental for 3.3, and also in the release notes kind of say, you know, we're thinking about whether this is useful for folks to for us to continue maintaining. If more than just one person are using it, then, you know, we'll step up and add it to our list of supported, officially supported databases, and just kind of play it by ear from there.
And if you'd like to support it, let us know.
Yeah. And by our, I mean your. Yes. That seems pretty reasonable. But I mean, in this discussion, we've kind of noted the need for handling this kind of issue at large, especially if things can be. I think it's really useful for the community if things don't have to become part of the core in order for people to easily use them. I think it sets up a nice dynamic where folks can contribute something and volunteer to update that particular piece of code without having to grow the committer team to some gargantuan number. So, just a quick informal vote. Then, is that what folks want to do? Just I'm cool with it. Just include it in trunk as experimental for 3.3, and send out some sort of query as to whether people are getting a lot of use out of it. And if they are, then take it on as official.
And if not, it just lives on as experimental forever, or it drops out?
Or, yeah. I mean,
that will just depend on the state of it, right? I mean, if it turns out that it's buggy or whatever, and then no one's really interested in supporting it, I mean, I think, you know, we can make the call at that point if we need to pull it out.
Probably downstream there'll be a place to keep orphaned stuff, which is outside of trunk, that people can fetch and use. Just, it isn't available right now.
Well, it becomes like a contrib kind of area.
Right.
And it's either an active or stale contrib.
So essentially we're putting it into trunk right now to just raise awareness of it and to encourage people to contribute. And to make sure it doesn't get lost in the shuffle, you know, as we're trying to come up with the proper places to put things like this.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that, too.
Me
too.
Okay,
resolved. We'll put this in trunk for 3.3 and solicit feedback on who finds it useful.
And someone will test it once.
Yes. Needs to be tested at least once. Well, needs to be tested in the 3.3. Test cycle, at least. Possibly we'll keep experimental or bring on as core supported database. And then this is just a temporary measure for now. Need to find and work with Fedora create effort to make this kind of contrib easier. To do in a less monolithic way. Okay. So I'm going to open it, and I put it back into the Fedora repository tracker for now. So That's open. We've gone well over our allotted time, so since we've only got a couple left, I was kind of thinking we could look at them, but anybody have to go right away, or can we take a few minutes?
Yeah, I've got to run. I've got a dinner reservation in nine minutes. So.
Okay.
I'll talk to you guys later. Actually, I think I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks, because I'll be in London next week, so I'll talk to you guys later.
Cool.
I'll catch you this week, Chris. So.
All right.
Okay. Cool.
Thanks, Eddie. Right. See ya.
Bye.
Yeah, this one, I'm just scanning these last two in our list here. They're not particularly big. One of them's one that we noted last week, out-of-box deployable war option. The other one is one that Richard Green submitted on optional data streams. Doesn't seem like we have to hit that one right away, but I would like a little more discussion around that when we do. So I'm going to suggest we go ahead and wrap up for today. Thank you, everybody, for the spirited discussion. And I'll send a note out as we start to finalize what we're going to be talking about next week in our special topics meeting. It's either going to be 3-3 scoping, getting the release process going, or semantic web fun with Paul. So, thanks again.
Thanks, Chris.
Cool. Great.
Thanks.
Bye. See y'all.